They do have a tremendously luxury and happy and enjoyment of their life. But they're also that due to the exhaustion of their previous karma, virtuous karma, they may also fall in for lower realms from the Deva realms. And so they have tremendous mental agony to that one. So therefore it is not object of admiring. And then, so what type of the suffering that they do have, if one wonder, and then they explain to that next one. The body's complexions turn in unattractive. They feel the dislike for their seats, second, garland wealth, clothing, essence, in order, and the body is soiled as never before. These are the five different types of that signs of transferring from Deva realms. So when they see these type of the signs, then the other Deva friend and family and relatives do not dare to come closer. So from far distance, throwing some flowers. And so they also see that their clairvoyance, that they exhausted their meritorious, previous meritorious karma, and they fall into that again in samsara, lower realms. So their mental agony is the even that more intense, the suffering of lower realms. Because of that, it is not object that one wish to burn or reach to that level. These are the five permanent signs attend the death in the celestial realms. They arise for the gods in the manner similar to the signs of the death attend in human on the earth, who are about to die. So these are the sign of the death is the kind of similar the sign of the dying, which occur in our human realms. So because of that, they have a tremendous suffering. After passing away from the celestial realms, if there is no remaining the virtues, one will helplessly enter into the state of the animal, preta, and hell beings. basically, their virtues, previous the virtues, their result is they exhausted, already used it up, and then non-virtuous karma, and from the thought, word, and actions, also that they remain. As a result, they also will fall into that the lower ends of the samsara. So because of this, it is also that called some wheel of samsara. Sometimes it goes to the higher deva realms, and then when they exhaust their virtues, it also falls into the lower realms. So in these cycles of the turning, like the wheel, which one is the top, which one is that bottom, it is not certain. And so, then the demigods have a great mental suffering. Through their natural hostility that gods taught intelligent, they, though they're intelligent, they cannot see that the truth due to the obscurations of their state of being. Demigods generally, it is due to their purest sum of that virtues, they are born into very close to that Deva realms. Then also that they could see the success and the glories of deva beings and luxury, and they cannot stand. So they always mental jealous toward the deva, and they engage into the battlefield against the deva realms, and they're always defeated. So in this way, their mental agony of jealous and the physical also the torch and defeating, they have tremendous suffering in there. So in this way, that you can see that whole samsara, as that one way or another, the object of experience, the different type of suffering. So for that reason, it is important to develop the freedom from the thought, freedom from those places. Earth as the god, human, animal, preta, hell beings, is not noble birth, should be known as the vassal with many arms. So in this way, the six realms thinking being has that object or subject of experience, the three types of suffering, suffering of suffering, suffering of change, suffering of condition and nature. So therefore, wherever they take the birth, all samsara is that not the really some vassal or that you know, the virtuous and happiness which are lasting for long. And it's also that the vassal of many harms or that some disadvantage in suffering. So that explained, up to there is explained about the suffering of samsara. By seeing that, one sincerely wishes to be freedom from this cyclic of existence. Not only oneself, also the ones, the family, friend, and relative, and all other sentient beings wish to be free from those, also developing compassion. For these reasons, they explained about these various different stages of that sentient beings, the suffering. And next one is that advice to enter into the path, spiritual path, by thinking that a benefit and advantage of that liberation. So that one is begin from here. Even if one's head or the clothing suddenly catch fire, forego the extinguishing it, rather exert oneself in putting on that end of the rebirth. No end is more excellent than this. So generally, of course, that if it is something fire catching to release one's body, and one suddenly wishes to do that, extinguish that fire. And so, of course, that is important because it's going to injure or cause the damage to one's body because of that we suddenly with anxiety and to wish to extinguish that fire. But then also that after birth, if one fall again into samsara, I think three, especially three lower realms, which is more intense than the catching fire. So therefore, it is important rather to exert oneself, putting the end to rebirth in the samsara through the practice of the Dharma. So, of course, the end birth means that by force of karma and the defilement, because we do not have choice of where to take rebirth. Of course, bodhisattvas take birth, but that has the control over, and that due to the exhaustion of karma, they take rebirth. So that's the difference. Here it's a saying that by force of karma, if one could eliminate that karma and defilements. So there is no better goal or aim that one can be achieved in that. So that's a brief advice. And then so how to achieve that goal is, as previously also that I said, the three precious training is that the main method of that freedom from the suffering samsara. So that explained. Through the morality, wisdom, and meditation, one must achieve the nirvana. That immaculate state of the peace and power, ageless, deathless, enter and free of the earth, water, fire, air, sun, and moon. So here it is saying, the subject of the content or that you meaning of the three training Vinaya, Sutra, Abhidharma is that moral discipline, the wisdom and meditation. So through this way that one can be suppress and then uproot that the course of karma, such as the desire, anger, and ignorance, as well as also the self-clinging. And if one could suppress and eliminate that one, then there is no further the accumulation of karma, and then also that it will cease that take rebirth by force of karma. And then also that will attend that nirvana. That nirvana has the two different, with remaining nirvana and without remaining the nirvana. Without the remaining nirvana means that when they enter into the nirvana, does not remain any of that aggregate, contaminated aggregate whatsoever. So that's called non-remaining entering the nirvana. And with remaining that nirvana means when they also reach to that level and then able to subjugate all the negative forces. And so it is that peace and the immaculate, so does not have any flaws, so therefore it is immaculate. And the peacefulness, but their sensory organ, calm and peace. And also their life has no birth, death, aging, and so that level because of that. there is no force of that karma. So even the living beings see that the Bodhisattva and Buddha's emanation, which was taken rebirth, and then also entering Mahaparinirvana, it is emanation. They, due to their force of compassion and aspiration, choose the whatever is the right condition. And so in this way, they have tremendous joy of in that liberation that can be achieved this through these three training. So that's explained. And then the recollections, discriminant of the Dharma. And effort, joy, extreme agility, meditation, and equanimity These seven are the limbs of enlightenment, seven limbs of enlightenment, so-called. The collection of these virtues bring about the attainment of nirvana. So, with the practice of Dharma, it has to go through that five different stages, which we call five paths. Part of accumulation, part of application, part of seeing, part of meditation, and a part of a normal learning state. These are the stages one has to go through from the Buddhist point of view. And to when you reach to that the level of the part of seeing, then there have that called seven limbs, which is the branches of enlightenment. Seven limbs of the branch of enlightenment. These are the ones called seven different type of that qualities. At that time, what they had seen, the part of seeing, so the truth. And so that observation of what they have seen is not letting to forget. So that is, that's called the recollection. And then this discriminant of Dharma, which means the wisdom that precisely seen the nature of each and every phenomena much more detail than the ordinary sentient beings. The practitioner, so that's the wisdom aspect. And then also effort means diligence, that they, because of the seen positive qualities and precisely, they also the delighted to perform more diligence, just like that the business people seen that some profit. They do not bother by hardship, so they diligently delighted to engage in investment for that business purpose. So similarly, for those who see that positive qualities of that level, then they have a tremendous joy, which is a cause of performing that diligence. So that's the one. And then the joy means when they, their mind is abide upon that truthness, they feel tremendous mental joy and they're able to remain in that state. So that's extreme agility. Joy, and effort, joy, meditation, equanimity, and also their physical, and as well as also mind. Is become to very suitable, extremely kind of the experience suitable to do the meditation. So that we have a Xinjiang, so which translates extreme agility in meditation, and then equanimity. Which when they do the meditation, also that the kind of a hindrance of meditation is thinking and scattering. So by removing this thinking and scattering, then one's mind remain in naturally a state of nature. So that state of nature become true that the very calm and without disturbing of the other matter. So becomes very equal and the equality, equanimity. So these seven different types of the limbs of enlightenment is that achieve the high attainment of nirvana. And next one is also that they explain there is no samadhi without wisdom. There is no wisdom without samadhi. Those who have that both should view the ocean of existing as the side of the oak's hoofprint. So here the samadhi and wisdom refers that calm abiding and insight meditation. So calm abiding is since the calm abiding is a single point of the one point meditation. So that is called samadhi absorption. And wisdom is seen the lack of inherent nature, both the personal self as well as phenomena self. And so that is one which directly antidote against that the ignorant. So because of that, it is also known as wisdom. So the saying that there is no samadhi without wisdom means without insight meditation, insight, that one, and even one has that there's some calm abiding, that calm abiding would not help to achieve nirvana or the liberation completely. So for that reason, it's saying there is no samadhi without wisdom. And there is no wisdom without samadhi. Also, even one has some intellectually understand about that some lack of inherent nature, but without having the samadhi, there is no base of arising that genuine realization. So for that reason, it's also the saying that there is no wisdom or that insight without samadhi. Samadhi is that as a foundation or base of the arising the insight wisdom. And for those who have both one-pointness samadhi, which is the accomplishment of samatha, and then also the see that lack of inherent nature, both personal and phenomena, then that is that excellent qualities of practitioner. And with having that one, even that all world of existence, cyclic of existence, will be that kind of that very easy to eliminate. Like that size of oak's hoof print, it's not difficult to erase. So similarly, the one will not be difficult to subjugate the samsara and the cause of samsara. That's explained. And especially that the real, the antidote of the negative emotion is that inside meditation, the emptiness, realization of emptiness, because that the cause of taking rebirth in samsara is the ignorant and self-clinging. And then so self-clinging is the root one. And then when we have the self-clinging, then it also becomes the other. Based on the other, we accumulated attachment, hated, jealous, and ignorant, jealous, and pride. And through this way, then it's also the accumulated karma. So that's the one, so the main root is that the self-clinging. And self-clinging itself cannot be erased or that removed by any other means without having that wisdom of understanding lack of inherent nature. So that's the wisdom, and that wisdom could not come without that one-pointness of shamatha as that meditation. So, and although the shamatha is that important, but shamatha alone would not be able to uproot the suffering. But, for these reasons, these shamatha and vipassana are that main method of that removing the defilement. The feminist Dejun Rinpoche used to say that you may find that hundreds of the different methods of meditation, but all meditation Buddhism, if you wanted to summarize, that you can summarize within these two, shamatha and vipassana. Both the sutra and the tantra type of the shamatha and vipassana, whatever, can be included or that summarized within these two meditation practice. And so that's advice that Nagarjuna also. This is the main method that one can be freedom from this suffering of samsara. Then one should not contemplate what the kinsmen of the sun declared to the 12 unexpounded view, for the mind will not be pacified through them. So during the Buddha's time, there were some heretics. They asked it to 12 different type of that question. Those questions, although the Buddha responded every other word, but those 12 words, Buddha did not respond in words. So the Nagarjuna also the same. These 12 words are unexpounded. One must not think that one wishes to know and one wishes to understand about these responded. Because that Buddha, what he did not respond was that the actual responded, and so it won't be any benefit for them by explaining. That's the one here explained. Kinsmen of that sun declares means that the Buddha is a name, another name. The 12 unexplained view for the mind of the Lord. These 12 different, which is not expounded, was that they asked it. Two types of the question was oneself and this world, are they the permanent or impermanent? So that they asked two questions. And they also, Niga Yin, Niga means, is it both permanent and also that both or neither? So these are the four, permanent and impermanent, or both or the neither. So that's the four different aspects. Oneself and the world, are they the permanent or not permanent, both or neither? That's the four ask it first. And then also the which is the extreme of that those are the causing the extremes of a prior. And then in the another extremes of the future, they ask it. Is there any end of oneself and worldly beings, end of extreme or not, or neither or both? So that's a fourth set of that question related for future end. And then those for eight, then the another four question, which also the related the Tathagata himself, Buddha himself, said it. When the Buddha entered into Nirvana or the death of the Tathagata, will it arise or will not arise, or neither or both? So these are the four another set of the questions. So these 12, which is asked about some heretics, Buddha did not respond. It doesn't mean to that Buddha could not explain, but by explaining that one, it will not able to remove their puzzlement of their mind. So it's because that Buddha did not respond. And not responded was actually that the actual answer. And so it is, unable to explain. It would not be benefit for them to think about. So because of that, also the Nagarjuna state, one should not think about these and question again as that, because there is no other who are the wiser than the Buddha, and the Buddha did not respond it, so therefore one should not think too much about this. So that's up to there is that the one that Nagarjuna explained. Then the next one is the 12 links of the interdependent ones. I think that is quite complex, and also that we might need to prepare that some more names of that the 12 interdependent origination, arising systems, and also the reverse system, which is that the more elaboration explanation of that Four Noble Truth, also how it's entering the samsara, and how can practitioner can end the samsara. So these are the explained within these 12 interdependent ordination. And so that we will learn next week. For the meantime, I wanted to ask you to also that to review that which we learned today, and then also that will some of that names of the 12 interdependents make it easy to understand for next Sunday. So with this, I will conclude today's topic. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to respond.
So, Kempo Kelson, this is Mary Elizabeth. And I...
Okay, hi, Mary.
Hi. I have a question. I was wondering if Nirvana the state of Buddhahood, or does Nirvana still exist in duality because there's still hell versus Nirvana?
Nirvana exists, but can you repeat again, Adana?
Yes. So I am confused. Is Nirvana the state of enlightenment? period, because I remember something about Nirvana. There was still something about Nirvana was still within duality, because hell was the opposite of Nirvana. So I'm a little confused. And so I was wondering if you could explain a little bit.
Yes, that Nirvana has that three different states. Arahat state, which is Pratek Buddha, solitary state. Both of them are called Nirvana. As Nirvana, in the basically what it's saying, that the Nirvana, it's a Sanskrit word, and the translate, that one is translated, as far as my understanding, the Nirvana is the translated in Tibetan Nyan Nindepa, which means transcendent from sorrow. You know? So transcendent sorrow, in this case, that Arahat and Perfect Buddha means that they are the completed, subjugated, the suffering and the cause of suffering. So the suffering itself, that the three different type of suffering. And so of course, that the cause of suffering is the karma and defilements. So karma, they do not have any negative karma, or the which is that like the negative actions and negative thought, negative words from body, voice, mind. Because that they eliminate the cause of the karma, such as that desire, anger, and ignorance. And they also, that they realize there is no dominator, self, or atma, or soul, as that, you know, that which completely dominate to oneself like that, you know, one's body and voice. In mind, rather than the clinging of that one's self notion. Beside than that, there is no other dominator. So by seeing that, then they do not have obviously the suffering. So freedom from suffering is called the Nirvana. So that's the one, Arahat, and the Pratek Buddha. Then there is also the Samyak Sambuddha, the fully and perfect enlightenment, Buddhahood, which is also the called non-abiding Nirvana. Why they call the non-abiding is that, of course, for living beings abide in samsara because of that is, the clinging of self, and they have emotion, negative emotion, and karma. So it's abiding in this the state of samsara. And for those noble beings, Arahat and Pratek Buddha, they realize that selflessness, and they are not abiding in the samsara, freedom from sorrow, but they are also in active state, also nirvana. So it is that the state of the negation. So remain in that. Which is, compared to the samsaric being, it is the peace and tranquility, and there's some liberation state. Certainly it's free and liberate from samsara. But still, it's not completely accomplished the wisdom, compassion, and spiritual power. So they have to still go through that all the different states. And they accomplish it, but compassion, power, and so on and so forth. And the Buddha is completely eliminated all the suffering of samsara, and they also that have that limitless wisdom, limitless compassion, and limitless spiritual power. So because of that, out of the wisdom, they are not abiding in this state of samsara, completely free of the samsara and cause of samsara. Due to the compassion and aspirations, they are not also abiding in the peak of liberation, constantly coming back as an emanation, as bodhisattva and other holy noble beings. So because of that, it is also called non-abiding nirvana. Out of wisdom, not abiding in the samsaric state, out of the compassion, they are not abiding in that peak of liberation, cessation. Because of that, it's called non-abiding nirvana, another name of Buddha. So these are that kind of stage of that experience and the realization of Buddha and Bodhisattvas and noble beings, and of course the practitioner can reach this level too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? It's a little work. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
I have another question.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, so I don't understand, but I kind of understand a little what wisdom means, what compassion means, but what does spiritual power mean?
Power. Very good. Very good. So spiritual power means that for physical power, verbal power, mental power. Physical power, we have sentient beings, one body, and we cannot make more than one body. Occasionally, maybe we have some dream that one body maybe becomes other bodies. Other than that, we could not more body. And also that we have the voice, which is that one voice that can hear the only specific language. Other than that, if we speak in English, probably not be understood for those who are not trained in unlearned English. So mm-hmm. All the same way to Tibetan and any other language. And then also mentally we can think about that what we are working, what we are saying. Other than that, we could not see in the future. We could not recall in the past life, like that. In the present life alone, we also that have a kind of that some very limited, and we do not have a clear voice that can be understood for other beings. But for those noble beings, some of them are that who develop these powers. Physical can emanate and numerous, and also the voice can hear the different language. Mind can see that others, they can predict others' mind, and also that they can read it. And bodhisattvas are not a few, but also that hundreds and thousands and also the millions and the multi-billions. So these are that increase their ability past, present, future, and all this. And also mm-hmm. that the voice can hear to them. Buddhas, infinite. And when mm-hmm. the Buddha gave that the teachings, every language can hear that the Buddha, whoever got there, gathered there. The language of gods, Nagas, Yakshas, Rakshas, and Kumbhamdas, and so forth. Every different language. And also, not only the language, but it also they can hear it. Exactly suited for them. Even Buddha spoke the one word, but then it comes to that suit to as they need. So these are called spiritual power.
Okay. I see.
Spiritual power of the body, voice, mind, physically eminent. And so countless time. And then verbally can give that teachings in every language. Mentally, by concentrate one moment, it also the benefiting for countless beings for positive present and futures and things like that, you know?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so with this, we will conclude today's the topic and the teaching. I will do some dedication prayer.
Thank you. Thank you for everyone.